Baseball family, this week we're going to talk Tiger City Connect uniforms, more umpire issues, and our emoji tears right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I'm pretty sure I can speak tonight without slurring any of my words because I am stone cold sober and I have been for years. Brad, are you sober too tonight?
Always have been forever.
Yeah, right, exactly.
baseball family, Brig introduces me. Anytime we go anywhere, Brig introduces me as his teetotaler friend.
Yeah, I do.
we were walking around downtown Phoenix. He's looking for near beer, whatever. And they're like, "Can I get you something?" And it was always, "Oh, he's a teetotaler."
Oh yeah,
all the time.
It's true. You've never had a single drink, have you?
I haven't. No, there are several reasons for that, but.
Yeah, well, I have all some of those reasons are mine now, too. Baseball family, we're really glad you're here with us this week. We will be dumping more tea throughout the season. If you want to get in on that information, there are two ways to do it. Hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube and hit the bell so you can get more information. But if you want the real tea and all the dirt, you can become a patron on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com, search Baseball Together. There are 5 tiers of support. There's $1 all the way up to $500 a month worth of support. Lots of promises, lots of big exciting stuff, and everybody gets an episode of the Bullpen Cut, which is behind the scenes. You get some of our planning, lots of our stories, and more irreverence than we're able to show on the show. Show on the show. I just said that. Show on the show.
Yeah.
Because this is the only family-friendly baseball podcast that is expressly family-friendly. We do it that way on purpose. We do it that way for you. But if you want anything else, you can get it. It's available.
You got to pay to play.
Pay to play. But it really does help us a lot. It's not just, you know. It's better than that. And you can go to figure it out with the support tiers. I'm going to take a deep breath, and then we're going to jump back into the Tigers City Connect uniforms. Brad, they dropped them
today
and pretended like it was hot today.
They did pretend, didn't they?
Now let's
There was a lot over, of pretending going on.
Let's go over before we get into our opinions. Let's go over the uniforms. Brad, I'll read them off. Will you click the overlays, show the people on the YouTube
I sure will.
Machine.
Let's start with this first one right here.
Okay, so
with the brick wall.
With the brick wall against a no parking anytime sign.
That is very much not an actual no parking sign if you look at it.
100% AI fake generated, whatever. Here's the deal, baseball family. The uniforms are black with an electric blue throughout across the breast.
Are they calling that electric blue?
That's what it looks like to me.
It looks more cobalt.
Well,
it's a little darker than electric blue.
I heard someone say that they called it an electric blue because it is the electric energy that they bring it, you know, whether we're moving from fossil fuel gasoline into electric vehicles. So I heard electric a few times. I may be transposing that information onto this, but
okay, that works.
That's it fine. Does have a royal cobalt sort of brilliant, like a really powerful royal blue.
It looks like Detroit Lion blue.
It does. And that is interesting because that's one of my takeaways from this.
Okay. All right. We'll save it then.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So again, Motor City across the breast of the jersey in a very distinct font that has a very automotive feel to it. Sort of has that retro Rolls Royce kind of racing slant kind of thing. I don't know. I'm making it up now. Anyway, the sleeve tape, if you'll go to the sleeve tape, is there an image for sleeve tape? No, just the actual sleeve. There you go. You can see the racing stripes on the sleeve. Those sleeve cuffs, that's the word I'm looking for, are racing stripes. And those, again, are down the pant leg on the piping on the outsides of
the legs of the pants.
So they're horizontal going down.
They the are. Piping? Well, it's okay. An angle, but yeah, it's more or less horizontal. Okay, yeah. It's like a 45.
Okay.
But that is to symbol racing. It's hearkening back to the automotive industry, right? Same with Motor City on the front, motor vehicles. Detroit's known for bringing automobiles into everywhere, basically in the United States. Yeah, exactly. They basically pioneered the entire industry, specifically in the United States in particular. So then the front of the uniform itself has a tread pattern. And this is to symbolize tire tracks. They called it the base and anchor of the City Connect jersey. The tracks signal a new era of Tigers baseball, pulling up to a new season of challenges. And again, this is a nod. This is a nod to the automotive industry. Now, if you'll look, Brad, show them the cap. Because on the right-hand side of the cap, you'll see what is a very long design. And what that is...
A vehicle VIN number.
It's a VIN. It's a vehicle identification number.
Yeah.
So they created a unique VIN featuring the letters DET at the beginning for Detroit, followed by 1901, which is the year the franchise was founded, and then 35, 45, 68, and 84, each of the four seasons that Detroit has won the World Series. That creates the entire VIN.
Is so creative.
It is creative.
That's outstanding. Really cool.
That same VIN is inside the wash tag, the laundry tag on the inside of the collar. It's not called the laundry tag, but on the
inside collar. There.
So that your vehicle identification number is on the inside of the collar there as well. And a VIN number again is a nod to the automotive industry for those of you who are paying attention. So now let's go to the sleeve, the left sleeve. And it will go to the right sleeve depending on the batter's stance or the pitcher's hand, because it will work
on the
it'll work opposite the branding logo, the sponsorship logo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So depending on which way the sponsorship is going to get, that this diamond tag will go on the opposite. It you can see it's got the old school old English D at the top, and then there's a very visible one. Now, that design, that white diamond design, is a motorway sign. It's the symbol that indicates the M1. The M1 is Woodruff Avenue. It was the first paved road in the United States, and it connected all of Metro Detroit from the north to south and all the neighborhoods being united. And so with it being a road sign, that's a nod to the automotive industry.
So here now, you can see better the 313, which is, is that the area code? Okay. Yeah, you can't see it in that other one. I wonder if it's like a, almost like a holographic thing.
It is. It's muted on purpose.
Huh.
Yeah, it's understated on purpose. And I don't know if it's reflective. That would be really cool, though I doubt that it would be.
Yeah.
I don't think they're doing that on uniforms, but...
Okay, it would be cool, but I could see why they wouldn't do that. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, show us the under visor. The tiger eyes are really cool because that old school Detroit Tigers uniform logo is, or cap logo rather, is featured under the visor, also on the socks. And it's above the laundry tag, the jock tag down on the left. There you go.
There, and then socks.
Now, go back to the jock tag. Because the jock tag has the white, the eyes are lit, are highlighted in white rather than being blued out like every other tiger tag. And that is to indicate headlights on a vehicle. Again, a nod to the automobile industry, the automotive industry, in case you didn't know.
Neat.
So now the cap is navy blue. The word Detroit runs across the front two panels. That's got the matching font that you feature on the jersey. And then the VIN on the right side of the cap, which we already talked about. They're going to wear these uniforms every Friday night this season when they play at home. So this will be their Friday night home game uniforms. All right, Brad, I would love your opinions.
Okay, there's a couple things. First off, like when I first saw it, looking at it, I was like, oh, that's actually like overall, I want to say, like, from a distance, it's going to look really cool. Okay, like, it looks like kind of a gradient down the middle, off the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... This is the thing overall. First off, don't put tire tracks down the middle of a body. It looks like roadkill.
Yeah.
I will forever be calling these the roadkill jerseys because that's what it looks like.
Then also,
that looks like a hat you would buy from a flea market.
Yeah, buddy.
That is so plain. The print is so small. What are they doing? When you have this on the under visor and you're not going to make it where the world can see it?
Preach, bro.
My goodness. It's like they had all the elements right there. And then they're like, but let's do it where nobody's going to expect it. And then we'll do something else.
Right. Like, will you even see it? I don't think so. But until we show you, and then you'll notice.
Yeah. Like, if I was a Detroit Tigers fan, I would not buy that hat because I would not want to pay $45, $50 for a hat that looks like I bought it at a flea market.
Yep. You could go to Lids, and they will churn one of these out for you. Easy, and you could get 15 for a discount. Give them to your buddies, and you could pull your money. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, other than the under visor, the rest of it's hot garbage. I think the hat is atrocious. The cap is atrocious.
It's so bad. The VIN number on the side and on the tag on the back, super creative. I like that. But really, you cannot just have Detroit in whatever font that is A, too small, and B, too plain. Yep. Like, you've at least got to have a different color visor.
It's so boring.
Different color visor on there or something. I don't know, but the hat is awful. And like I said, forever will be the roadkill jersey because that's what that looks like.
So for me, I love the mix of that really intense electric royal
color. Oh, I love the colors. Love the colors.
Color scheme is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Again, I wanted purple, and we've talked about that. So. Right. That moves it away. But you bring up a good point with the Detroit Lions. I think that if you have a team that historically bad that needs your help from your baseball team, like, go ahead. That's what this is. So,
well, the other thing, too, is that specific color of blue, Brig, that's like Ford blue.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like,
which is fine. Here's the thing, though, man. Like, we know the automotive industry is out of Detroit. For years and years, it's been that way. We know. The whole world knows.
Literally forever.
The whole world knows, okay? Why, with all of the choices, with all of the history, with all of the opportunity to showcase something about your city, did you pick the one thing we already all know about that's really nothing special anymore, that is not turning any heads? I don't get it. I'm bothered that it was such a, like, the execution. I'll give them like a 5 or a 6 out of 10. Okay. 7 if I'm feeling good about the color scheme and can't see the tire treads from far enough away. Okay. I got it. I do like the font all across the jersey, and it looks really good on the back of the uniform.
Looks good on the jersey. Yeah.
That's okay. But my big issue is, of all the things, man, why did you have to stay? It feels basic. It feels lazy. It feels like sticking with Motor City and all the automotive stuff was just the lowest hanging fruit. And you have so much opportunity to get into Motown and some of these other, you know, historical, traditional.
One of the oldest baseball teams in Major League Baseball, too. Like, you're not calling on any of the team history. Whereas I'm wearing a Mariners City Connect right now, for those of you not watching. And the font belongs to a team that is not even part of the Mariners history, but is because of the city. They called more on baseball in Seattle than they did anything else with the Mariners City Connect. And this is the problem that I have, Brig, is that every single jersey we've seen this year and a lot of last year, it's just like black.
Yeah.
Like, are like they running out of
a dark heart?
I don't know. It feels to me like the design team is like running out of ideas, though.
Yeah.
You know, that they're just like, okay, let's start with black.
Let's put the last one.
Well, what else should we start with? I don't know. Let's start with black.
Black with texture. Yeah, like how about black? How about now it's going to be black with colored texture?
Huh? Ah, yeah, very, yeah. So I was really excited about what we could potentially see this year, but I'm really like concerned now because they've just gotten to be so lazy and so rinse and repeat of something else, you know? And I feel like it all started with the Brewers one. Like, I'm not blaming the Brewers for this, but that one felt so like eighth grade Canva project.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just kind of gone that way ever since. Like, I'll give them a little bit more credit here with the texture there. And then, I mean, do we want to just move on and talk about the Rays right now? Because I have thoughts.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Rays.
So, like, I thought it was super cool that they were, like, supposed to look like a faded t-shirt. I was like, that's awesome. Super relatable. But they're wearing them with pants that are supposed to look like a faded t-shirt. But instead of looking like a faded t-shirt, you know what it looks like, Brig? Looks like they're wearing old sweatpants out there.
That's right. Sweat. Yes.
It looks so awful. Especially you get a left-handed batter up there who doesn't have the piping down the right leg. And it's just a solid pant leg. It looked like he was wearing, I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but it looked like he was wearing sweatpants up there. And I was like, that's not a good look. I'm sorry. Faded sweatpants. That's not Major League Baseball. I'm sorry. If you're going to make, if you want the pants to be textured, make them denim.
There you go.
Go all the way and make them denim. Don't just be like, yeah, we'll just make the same texture as the shirt and it'll be fine. No, it's not fine.
Baseball family, if you're watching on YouTube, stay tuned because we're going to show you some footage from the Rays City Connect game in just a moment, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, I agree with you. But I will say I thought that my initial responses to the Rays City Connect in their photo day, because there's always a huge difference between what it's going to look like on the field and what we see in these staged photos. I thought that it looked better on the field than it did in the photos for the most part.
It looks great on the field. Other than the pants, like the pants are my one issue. Like let's just take it out and just do white pants. Right.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like that should just be the way to go for a lot of these anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that just wearing your home white pants with that jersey will look fantastic.
I disagree. Well, no, I don't disagree with that. I think don't you're like right.
The sweatpant look.
I don't think that the white pants are always the way to go. But I am going to say that the overwhelmingly positive response to the White Sox City Connect and to Cincy's City Connect has got to lead you to believe something has tipped the scales with public support.
It could be.
Gotta be.
That maybe that's why they're leaning so hard into black. But it makes sense with the White Sox because that's one of their colors. And same thing with Cincinnati. One of the things they talked about with Cincinnati was the fact that they're like the Reds said, we're the only of all the teams that have red, we're the only team that's red and black. And so they wanted to lean into it and embrace it, which I was like, absolutely, because I'm a huge fan of that color scheme. I love it. I'm a Trailblazers fan. Of course I love it. And it's almost like they're trying to give everybody black because those two did so well. But the Tigers are not, that's not one of their colors.
No. No, but the tires are black.
Yeah.
Asphalt's black, you know. I think it'll be if the Dodgers number two, because they're getting a second one, if the Dodgers come out with an all black uniform, which I can totally can see happen. If they do that, I will be super upset.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Honestly, I would not be surprised if they just rehashed the old City Connect, the first one, and just turned it black.
Wouldn't be surprised. Which would be the most horrible thing to do, but whatever.
It really would be.
So let's move on. The Marlins traded Luis Arraez to the Padres. They, in turn, received four prospects. Wow.
If you want to call them prospects.
Yeah. This whole situation is boggling our minds, okay? The Marlins general manager, Peter Bendick, said in a press conference after the trade, we are unlikely to make the playoffs this year, which is true. But you don't want to hear that coming from your front office, and your fan base sure doesn't want to hear that. You still have a whole season left to try and get butts in seats and eyes on TVs and or streaming or whatever it is. Like, This is the worst business decision in every step that I can imagine outside of what they're doing in Oakland.
Yeah. Well, in Oakland, at least they have a bunch of talent on that team. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the Marlins have a bunch of talent on that team.
They do.
It almost feels like a revolt against the front office because they all hate it there.
Like, bro, didn't I call it with that short story I wrote? I'm just saying.
You did. Yeah, you're right.
I did.
You
did. Okay, sorry. But baseball family, yeah, you know, sign up to be a rooter and I'll tell you about my story. Okay.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's weird. And like, and the thing is too, is that like, it wasn't even like the Padres took a rise so that the Marlins could free up cap space, or not cap, so there's no cap, but payroll.
Luxury tax and payroll.
Because the Padres can't do that. They don't have the money to take on that contract. So the Marlins are still paying Arraez to be in San Diego. So, like, what was the point of this move?
You know what the point was? On San Diego's side, to get another middle infielder on the roster.
Did you see that meme this weekend with Pam and Michael Scott? And she's like, you can't just stop gathering middle infielders. You have to stop gathering middle infielders. She's like, I'm going to keep gathering middle infielders so hard.
I didn't see that, but that's hilarious. Cause that's exactly
what's going on in San Diego, is that entire team is a middle infielder. Everybody is.
It is just disgusting, honestly. It's not working. It's just not working. So huzzah for the experiment that continues to fail. I mean, let's move on. That was just, we can all agree that was just bad for business. Okay.
Well, so hold on real quick. One thing, though, is it does make me wonder is I checked to see how much time, like what Jazz Chisholm's contract situation is. He's approaching, I think, his second year of arbitration this year. So he's got a couple more years of club control. I'm curious how long it's going to take them to move him.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because they don't seem interested in winning. Tim Anderson would probably
The guy, the GM's like, was not.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. We lost 5 games. I don't know.
Yeah. Forget it.
There's always next year.
Yeah. We lost Derek Jeter in 5 games. I don't think it's not worth it.
All you lost is Kim Ng. That's who you lost. That's why you're losing.
Huge problem. That's a huge problem. That woman is brilliant. All right. So, let's go back to the Rays and their City Connect uniforms for a minute, because we got to talk about Jose Caballero. Jose Caballero is running amok right now.
Dude, he's always running amok. That dude is a problem on the base paths.
Listen, if you're not familiar with Jose Caballero, he's the Tampa Bay Rays shortstop. He stole 4 bases against the Mets in a single game. It was on Cinco de Mayo, which I think is even better. So he did it twice from first to second, twice from second to third. Now, one time the catcher whiffed the ball on the transfer push play. Let's walk you through it, baseball family. So here's the first one. Pitch for a strike. Terrible throw. He slides in. No big deal. Okay.
He would have been safe anyway. Here's another. Yep.
Killer throw. Good spot.
That was a lot closer, but he.
That dude is fast.
He is so fast.
Now, here's the whiff. And he goes from second to third with no contest. And here's the one I want you guys to watch. Look, he has a 700-mile lead off of second base.
And it was basically a pitch out, too. That ball was so far outside. The catcher was like a third of the way down the base path when he made the throw anyway.
Yeah, it was a pitch out easily. Here comes the slow-mo. Look, the ball almost always moves faster than the base runner, but not this time. That dude was 100 feet off of second base on his way to third. By the time the catcher got it, he was halfway there.
So I talked about Cabby early in the season, Brig, because he did something. Oh, he did something and somebody got mad at him. I think it's somebody with the Blue Jays got mad at him. I said, this is what he's going to do. He's a pest because he's a hustle guy. He was a utility player in Seattle. I loved him last year in Seattle. There were times that he was absolutely maddening because he would get picked off. He'd get in a rundown when he didn't need to, and he would run himself out of an inning. But the good outweighed the bad, and I loved watching him. And this is why he's so good at reading pitchers and catchers that I'm sure he got to the point, on that last stolen base, like you said, he was halfway to third base before the ball was even pitched, that he got to the point where he's like, he's not looking back here. I could be standing on third. He's not going to know.
No,
you could have Francisco Lindor shouting at him from second base.
Yeah.
And he's so locked in, he's not going to hear it. He has no idea. I can walk to third base and be fine. That's the kind of base runner he is.
I'm telling you. And the even the pitch out and the he set up the catcher to make that throw, and it still didn't matter.
Yeah. Yep. Rays fans, you're losing a bunch of games, but you got a couple of really exciting guys on that team, and Cabbie's one of them. Unfortunately, I don't feel like he's a starter on a winning team because he is a utility guy, right? Yeah. Like, you need to have him as your utility guy if you're going to be winning, because that's the level of player you need playing ahead of him. But as a utility guy, he's a great guy to have on your team. He's a ton of fun. I mean, he's a ton of fun to watch, even if you're losing. So there you go.
Quick update on Paul Skeens in the Pirates organization. He still has not been called up, by the way. Let's just get that out of the way. He's still being groomed down in the minor leagues. But he did finally give up his first professional home run. And this is, let me paint the picture. It was the top of the fifth with a 3-1 count. The umpire called a ball on a fastball. Skeens asked to challenge the call. He won the challenge. That moves the count to full. Then, on the next pitch, he gives up his first homer. Not the first homer of the day. Not the first homer of May. Not even the first homer at that level. The first homer he's ever given up in professional baseball.
I thought you were going to give us one more rhyme there.
No, but that would have been great. That raises his ERA to 0.99.
That's so crazy.
Sit on that for a minute.
So he
goes to 0.99.
Well, and it's the other thing too is that it's not like he's only pitched a couple of innings. He's pitched 34 innings. No, sorry. Yeah. 27 and a third this year.
Yeah.
He's,
right.
He's been out of seven what, 15, 20, games. He's 30 struck games. 45.
Oh, the guy is just electric. And he's pumping them in there at 103 consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. So
yeah, he's given up Pirates three earned, he's given up three earned runs in 27 and a third. So that's why his ERA is currently 0.99.
Dude's amazing.
Yep. I don't know why they didn't call him up. They could sure use him.
Speaking of pitchers, Brad, will you walk us through your Mariners starting rotation?
Oh, dude. So things have been going well for the starting pitching. Not so much the offense, but we'll get there later. So the Mariners starting rotation has been absolutely lights out. They went 21 games in a row where the starting pitcher allowed two or fewer runs. Now, this is not just two runs and then he's gone. Because keep in mind, if a pitcher leaves the game with a runner on second base, that runner on second base, if he scores, is still charged to that pitcher. So 21 games in a row, Brig.
Yeah.
And not only was it two or fewer runs, that the total through those 21 games was 21 earned runs by starting pitching.
Total.
Total. Averaging one per game. Now, Emerson Hancock did get touched up against the Braves. He did give up three of them, I believe, were unearned. I think it was five runs, four were unearned. So there's that. But these are earned runs.
Yeah.
The streak ended on Sunday. They tied with the second best streak in history, tied the 1917 Chicago White Sox at 21 games. The streak ended on Sunday. Bryce Miller gave up two-run home runs to the Astros. Mariners ended up winning the game anyway, by the way. You can see that clip on YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook if you want to go check it out. But the record, Brig, if you're curious what the record is, it's held by the 1915 Washington Senators, and it's 22. Ooh.
The Washington Senators in 1915 would have been, was that Rogers Hornsby?
Oh, that's
No. Walter Johnson. Is it Walter Johnson?
I'm going to look.
Because Hornsby, I was looking
in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
But it very well could be Walter Johnson. Yes.
Tell me I'm right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, baby.
He was part of that staff that went 22 in a row.
So very I looked up the 1917 White Sox because I was like, is that Eddie Seacott? Sure enough, Eddie Seacott, Lefty Williams, Red Faber. Eddie Seacott, for those of you who are paying attention to baseball history, was a member of the 1919 Black Sox scandal. Which is too bad because he had a career WAR of 59.1.
That is too bad. So he was one of the guys who was fixed in the series?
Yep.
That's a bummer.
It's a huge bummer.
Anyway, that was quite the stretch. And the thing that's crazy too, Brig, is that with the starting pitching, when they're not giving up runs, the bullpen has also been lights out during that time. The Mariners have won 6 series in a row during that time. So that's going awesome. A long ways to helping the Mariners get and stay in first place. I don't think they are after today because I don't think the Rangers. I'll check the Rangers later. Anyway, so there's the Mariners tearing it up. And that's the thing about it is the starting rotation has been as advertised to this point. Got off to a little bit of a rough start the first week and a half or so, but they've been as advertised since then.
Can't beat it, man. Nope. Cannot beat it.
It's tough to.
Okay, so the umpire situation continues to intensify. And today we're going to talk about C.B. Buckner. And there he is. There's C.B. Buckner. And in a game where the White Sox visited St. Louis recently, tie game, 5-5 going into the top of the 10th inning. Okay. They have a bases loaded in the top of the 10th, 2 strikeouts, then a 3-hour rain delay.
The bottom of the 10th.
Bottom of the 10th. I wrote that.
Yeah. Because the White Sox scored a run in the top.
That's what it was. White Sox scored a run because it was 5-5. White Sox scored a run in the top of the 10th. Then the bases get loaded in the bottom of the 10th. They go to 2 strikeouts. There's the 2 outs. Then there's a 3-hour rain delay. 3 hours. Now, you know you can call a game after 5.5 innings.
Well, but with a tie, you can call it when it's that close to the end, right?
You can't. And not with a tie. Like, what are you going to do with a tie?
Well, it wasn't a tie. The White Sox were winning going into the rain delay.
You're right. Was the thing. That's true.
The reason I know this, Brig, was because this was the 6th leg on my 6-leg parlay. I had the Cardinals on the money line. So I was tracking this game and the rain delay very closely. And then to see this end by C.B. Buckner calling a strike on a ball that far off the plate.
Let's show everybody. I got it up. You ready?
Yeah.
Here it goes. Look at that. 88 mile an hour changeup. Slow it down. Here it goes all the way in. What is that? A good 3 inches, maybe more?
That's got to be like 6.5 off the plate, man.
It was
Because it's like a ball on a lot off the plate.
Yeah. It was a lot of inches off the plate. I've got the umpire scorecard coming up right here. Baseball family, if you're paying attention, there's the ball called a strike right there at the very bottom. But here's the thing. Look, if you look down in the bottom of the strike zone, look at all those green dots. Those are
ball all day
balls. Those are called balls that were actually strikes.
That's the thing.
And then
that's
the one red dot. Man. Clear outside.
I had to send C.B. Buckner a bill for my what I lost, what I would have won. I'll send him a bill for what I would have won. And to be honest with you, Brig, it was such like peanuts that he might actually send it to me.
Here's your 45 cents.
It was a $1 bet on a 6-leg parlay. I was trying to get my balance down to the next $5. That's all I
was doing. Nailed it. Oh yeah, you should definitely send him a bill.
I should. Then I'd have like another like because it was like $18, and I'd have like $3 and some change to play with. So,
you know who should send him a bill is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah,
and Ivan Herrera who got rung up on that absolutely atrocious call.
It's so terrible. Like, do you go in for a 3-hour rain delay just to come out for that garbage? Come on now. Like, give the dude a chance. Like, make the wait worth it.
It was a 1-2 pitch. Bases loaded, 1-2 pitch.
He was just tired of being there. So
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. I had the same
ridiculous.
Thought.
Just ridiculous.
All right, baseball family, let's talk about the Dodgers. We got to get into the Dodgers. First things first, Shohei Ohtani leads Major League Baseball in extra base hits. He has 25. That puts him on pace for 113 this season if he continues, which would make it third all time. That'd be good enough for third all time.
So many.
No big deal. he leads the league in Major League Baseball, or leads Major League Baseball rather, in total bases. He's at 98. That puts him on pace for 411, which would be good enough for fourth all time if he continues in single season total bases. He's also on pace for 45 home runs and 32 stolen bases. If he succeeds, he would be the third Major League Baseball player ever with 45 or more home runs and 30 or more stolen bases. He would join Larry Walker and Alfonso Soriano as the only other two ever. He is 11 of 21. He's 11 of 21 in his last five games up to this afternoon. He's currently batting 364, 426, and 685 with a 1.111 OPS. He leads the league in batting average and on-base percentage, or slugging, sorry. He leads the league in slugging and batting average and OPS. He has a league-leading 54 hits, 14 doubles, and 10 home runs. There's like a five-way tie for home runs right now.
It's like nobody can get over 10. I don't know what the deal is. It's weird.
Yeah, it's strange. So in case you're wondering how Shohei Ohtani's doing with just his role at the plate and not doing any pitching, he's still one of the greatest we'll ever see.
He is. So here's some context. One of the greatest on-base guys you've ever seen in Ichiro, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you can't really compare a lot of his seasons because he had over 200. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He had over 200 hits in 10 of his seasons, so we're not going to count a lot of that. But what we are going to do is, in his worst season, okay, one of his worst seasons, okay? So he's 40 years old. Such a terrible time to have such a bad season. It was his only full season with the Yankees. He had 102 hits. 102 hits. One of the best on-base guys ever. And Ohtani's on pace for 113 extra base hits.
Right.
And I'm sure it still felt like Ichiro was getting on base pretty regularly at that point. That's insane. That's so many extra base hits.
It's so many.
Dude is just a walking double. But then he hit so many home runs too. It's bananas.
He's hitting plenty.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happening in the Dodger world is Walker Buehler is set to return. 2024 will be his debut. It's coming versus Miami. That game started tonight at 7 p.m., Brad. Will you look and see if it's already done? I'm sure it is, or very near.
No, not done yet. Oh, was it Eastern time?
7 p.m. Eastern, yeah.
No, not 7 p.m. Pacific time, because they're in the top of the fourth right now.
7 Pacific? Oh, man, that's the worst news I ever heard in my life. Anyway, how's he doing? What's his line right now?
3 1/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 4 Ks.
Not great. Not lights out.
Looks like he made it through. He made it out of the fourth. Just now, I think he got a double play. So he's gone four full.
Well, I mean, it's respectable for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first game back, and he's only given up 3 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's the Marlins, but still. Really, that's, though, I like that's. This
is a great first start against the Marlins. Good choice.
It is. It's a good spot to start. It really is. But this is the thing, though, is that like the Dodgers have the opposite problem of the Mariners. The Mariners pitching has to be lights out every day because the offense is struggling so much right now. The Dodgers offense is so good. The pitchers can go out there and be like, what, guys, can we give up like 5 today?
Yeah.
And offense is like, yeah, it's easy, fellas. Yeah, like, no big deal.
So Walker Buehler said, getting the adrenaline of pitching in the big leagues is something I've been looking for a long time. And for sure, of course he feels that way. I mean, he's been out forever. So we're very excited to see him back, just as baseball fans in general. But when he's healthy, that dude is electric.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, for sure.
The Dodgers don't need him, but they get him. The
Dodgers do need him. Honestly, I think they do need him. They're going to need him in the long run. I think they're going to need
him. Oh, in the long run. Yeah, they don't need him this minute.
Not right now. No, absolutely not right now. Like, they could really take their time with him coming back if they wanted to, but I feel like at this point, you might as well.
Yeah.
You know, get him out there.
Especially if you can rotate him in and give him a couple of extra days here and there.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are 11 in their last 13, by the way. So, in case you're wondering, for the actuaries out there.
11-2 in their last 13, is that what that is?
Yeah, they've won 11 of their last 13.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for catching me on that. So here's a couple of other summary bullet points with the Dodgers. So the Dodgers lead Major League Baseball and, of course, the National League in the following categories, depending on which category. The overall WAR by any player is Mookie Betts. The position player WAR for any player is Mookie Betts. The offensive leader in WAR is Mookie Betts. Batting average leader, Shohei Ohtani. On-base percentage, Mookie Betts. Slugging percentage, Shohei Ohtani. OPS plus, Shohei Ohtani. Hits, total bases, doubles, extra base hits, all Shohei Ohtani. The home runs of four-way tie, which includes Shohei Ohtani. How many walks? It's Mookie Betts. He leads the league in walks. Sacrifice flies, Will Smith. Stolen base percentage is a 23-way tie, which includes Betts and Ohtani. They have the seventh best ERA in the league at 3.35, and they are above the league average in saves at 11. Basically, the Dodgers are a machine right now.
Offensive, for sure. I mean, it certainly drops off when you get to the pitching. Seventh best ERA, which, you know, nothing to snub your nose at. But you need those guys doing what they're doing offensively.
Yeah.
With that, which is...
So here's my question, Brad.
Okay.
If you let's say you lose Mookie Betts, does the entire system crumble?
It feels like it. So
it does, doesn't it?
So this is the thing, is that like Ohtani's doing a lot. Obviously, we covered that. But they have got a guaranteed RBI every time Ohtani gets up there because Mookie Betts is on base. Ohtani's going to either hit a double or a home run, and Mookie Betts is going to score on that every single time, no matter what base he's on.
Yep.
That's so a guaranteed RBI every time, is what it feels like. So if Mookie Betts goes down, it does crumble, because then you've got Ohtani getting out on second base, right? Which is great. You want him on second base, but there's a good chance you've already got one out, and then you've got to rely on Freddie Freeman, who is no scrub, by the way.
No.
But it's not a guaranteed RBI.
Right.
Not a guaranteed run.
Yeah.
And so, I do feel like it would fall apart without Mookie Betts. And it's crazy because I was like, oh, man, he's moving to a new position. He hasn't played shortstop significantly in his career. I don't think he's going to have a great year this year. Well, to you, sir.
And for the record, I'm going to throw this up there. We don't want anything to happen to Mookie Betts. I'm just speculating. So tossing it up to Dave. Okay. Yep. All right, baseball family, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do our emoji tiers. But before that, today in baseball history, May 7th, 1925, in the ninth inning against the St. Louis Cardinals, Pittsburgh shortstop Glenn Wright made an unassisted triple play when he caught Jim Bottomley's line drive, stepped on second base to double Jimmy Cooney, and then tagged Rogers Hornsby coming in from first.
That's pretty neat.
There's Rogers Hornsby came up twice today. I'm just going to say we should be really proud of that. Baseball family, we'll be right back.
Well, Welcome back, baseball family. So once a month, we go through and we do our emoji tiers. This is our version of power rankings. If you're new to the show, this is how we're going to do it. We have five tiers. We have the diamond tier, the heart tier, the question mark tier, the thumbs down, and the poop tier. The way that we go through, and early in the season, we'll still arrange them according to our little rules, and then everything gets thrown out the window later, and we just roll with it. But it's 3 in the diamond, 8 in the heart, 8 in the question mark, and in the thumbs down, and then 3 in the poop. So top 3, bottom 3, then fill in the rest. And those are our power rankings and the way we do it. So, Brig, why don't you lead us off with your diamond tier? What do you
all
have?
All right. Pretty simple. Dodgers, for all the reasons I just stated prior. Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Baltimore still the top team in the American League. And then I've got the Phillies coming in hot. They are screaming. They are excited. They are moving. Everybody's moving out of the way right now, except the Dodgers. They're the only team that's in the National League that is not being out, that is outperforming the Phillies. I can word right now, I promise.
So you notice a slight move there. I have the same.
Do you really?
I have the Dodgers, Orioles, and Phillies. Yeah, I mean, we just talked about the Dodgers. And it's funny because it's like we go through and my assessment was based off the eye test, what I've seen with them, what I've seen based on their scores and things like that. And then you go through and you throw all those numbers at me. It just confirmed everything that I thought I had seen.
Nice.
Right? The Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani are just torching everybody. And then the rest of the lineup is actually falling in line. And they're kind of making up for mediocre to decent pitching. I don't want to say it's good, but I can't say it's bad.
Yeah, right? It's not bad, no.
But Yamamoto has found his groove. Tyler Glasnow is doing his thing. And then everybody else in that lineup is just kind of doing their thing, whatever. And it's good enough. It's good enough. I don't know if it'll be good enough in October, but it's good enough right now. And that's all that matters.
That's what I was going to say. All the way through April, it's plenty. And they're killing it right now. So whatever they're doing is working. They just need to keep riding it. And whatever the plan they have in place needs to continue. So I don't think they can remain stagnant. They can't rest on their laurels. If they take this situation they've got now all the way into September without making the necessary adjustments, which obviously they're not going to do, but if they don't make the necessary adjustments, then they're going to be toast.
Right.
But
yep. Yeah,
because I think a good Braves team or a really good Phillies team will be ready for them.
Or a really hot wild card team could take care of them too, just like last year.
You know it. That happens.
It does, and it has, and it will. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Orioles. The Orioles are they're so good. They're so great. Somebody in the comments section on YouTube said, I've been waiting a long time for an Orioles team this good, and they are just that good. So
that's exactly right.
And then the Phillies, we talked last week. Was it last week about Mike Trout to the Phillies? Because that's what you want so badly.
I want it so bad.
They don't need him. They don't need him.
I know.
It might be subtraction by addition, honestly.
It might be.
Because you'd have to get rid of somebody or some people, and you would be losing some really big pieces that are contributing to that team. And Nick Castellanos has decided to show up early to this.
Yeah, he's the one I'm surprised by.
Like, it's funny because the Phillies fans were killing him a couple weeks ago. But it's like, dude is a slow starter. Typically, like, August, September, right? But it's the first week in May, and he's here. He's here.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
I am too, Brad.
Good.
I really like Nick Castellanos.
I do, too.
I don't know why. I just really
like I don't know why either, but I really do. Okay, go ahead with your heart.
Blue-collar thing. Here's my heart tier. I got the Braves down here mostly because they got whooped by the Dodgers, and I'm only allowed at this early to have 3 diamond teams. So I still like the Braves. This is not knocking them. They're still 20-12. That's nothing to shy away from. It's nothing or nothing to snub your nose at. I just think that they have had a really bad couple of weeks. One mediocre, one really bad. And I don't want to say that they're out.
Right.
But they dropped their lead to like 2.5 between the Phillies winning and the Braves losing. I think it went from like a 5 or a 6 game lead.
They're
to
in
a
second
two
place right now.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's upsetting if you're a Braves fan.
Most definitely.
But you got big injuries going on in Atlanta right now.
They're three games back behind the Phillies tonight.
See? So big injuries, lots of issues. But I still think there's time. I mean, obviously there's time, but it'll be okay. Let's move on to the Yankees are good. Just keep doing what you're doing. They're riding the heat wave behind the Orioles. It's all good. Just keep doing it. They have problems. They need to fix them. Everybody knows what they are. I'm not going to get into it because I could just talk forever. The Mariners are good. The Cubs are good. I've got the Royals and the Tigers up this high right now because I'm riding them high. The Tigers, for me, just need to wake up the bats, man. If they can just get their bats ready to go, everything.
They can score before the eighth inning. They'll be fine.
Everything's going to be better. The Royals are second in the American League in stolen bases and in strikeouts at the plate. But they also lead the American League in home runs allowed. So there's like this enormous imbalance in their game. And but I will say the biggest thing they got going for them is they lead the league in Salvi Perez. So
which is nice.
That's nice. And then the biggest hot take I got here is Oakland. Okay. Oakland should be terrible, but they're only one game under 500. Okay. And I am pulling for them. I hope they have a cardboard cutout of somebody in their clubhouse and they are peeling off pieces one game at a time. It needs to happen. If you don't get that reference, go watch Major League. This is exactly the team we need in baseball right now. Not the team we want because it's just...
They're America's team right now, legitimately.
But everybody wants to see them cook, and they're cooking right now, and it's fun. So I moved them all the way. This is my biggest jump. I moved them all the way from the poop tier. They were my like 30th team on the list in our last emoji tier preseason. And now I've moved them all the way up to, you know, somewhere between 4 and 11.
Nice.
I'm pretty high on the A's right now.
Should be. Like I said, they're America's team right now. Everybody's pulling for them because they want them to stick it to ownership. So,
yeah,
I'm here for it. Okay, my heart tier. The Braves have lost 5 of their last 6.
Yeah.
That's not good. But it's a bad stretch. They're still a good team, right?
Yep.
Until they are consistently losing 5 out of 6, I'm going to keep them in my heart, tier. The Yankees, still a really great team. They have, I mean, Juan Soto, like right now, is the AL MVP. Let's be real. And Aaron Judge hasn't even started playing yet, really. Nope. So got that going. I'm going to leave my Mariners here. I'm not super worried. The pitching has been carrying them, which is a huge deal because Julio Rodriguez hasn't hit a ball out of the infield in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that starts happening again, things will start clicking. And it looks like there's going to be a promotion soon because Jerry DePoto was in Arkansas over the weekend. So could be seeing some guys coming up and making debuts over the next couple weeks. And I'm very excited because there's a ton of talent on that team. Cubs, yeah. I've been saying since the very beginning, there's a ton of talent on that Cubs team. They are very good. Mm-hmm. They should run away with the Central. If they don't, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah,
the Rangers got to keep them here because they're still holding serve in the West. Cleveland shocked me to this point. I've got to leave them here because there was several days where they had the best record in baseball and they're still playing well. They still have their division by 2.5 games. The Royals, I love the Royals. I love so much of the Royals are doing. Yes, they strike out too much. Yes, they have some pitching problems, but again, another team with a bunch of talent on it. And once those guys get on base, they're making stuff happen. So the issue is getting on base, but once they get there, they can make it happen. And there's the possibilities of that team, like they could contend for the division. And I'm not kidding. They're really good. Mm. And then I got to have the Brewers there because they continue to shock me. I don't love them. So like if I was to go tier this whole thing, they're like my number 11, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're the bottom of my heart tier because they've shocked me. So I'm putting them here out of respect.
Mm-hmm. You got to respect them. Yeah. Well, they're 20 and 14 right now.
So far, you got to respect them.
Yeah.
Until they make it so that I don't. I'm going to.
Yeah, that's right. So for me, this is where the Brewers go. They're in my question mark tier because I have to respect them. Like you said, they average more than one home run per game. And I think they steal at least one base per game or something like that. So
yeah, I was watching a game the other day and they were talking about how they're like super aggressive on the base paths. They're one of the fastest teams last year, one of the fastest teams this year. Where they've taken a step back this year has been defensively. That's what they said.
Yeah. So I'm just not sold still on Milwaukee. And I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put them here, like you said, out of respect. And also because this is the middle and I don't want to put them any higher. So come at me. The Twins, I don't want to put them this high either, but I have to because some of the teams below them are way more justified in being lower. I know the Twins are doing fine. Like there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. They're also 20-14, which is great. I think they had a 12 game winning streak. So you got to love that. But I'm waiting to see if it was a 12 game win streak and now they'll lose 12. I don't know. Could happen.
Well, they won tonight, so.
Okay, so 13.
Beat the Mariners.
Too bad. The Giants, why do they suck on the road? Like, aren't they like 6-13 on the road? That makes no sense to me, and it's so sad. So because it makes no sense.
6-14 after today's loss, yeah.
6-14. Nice. No! Oh, man. You know, they DFA'd like two guys today that they brought up from AAA like last week or a couple days ago or something.
Well, they had a dude make his debut today too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they DFA'd somebody today, a pitcher. Oh, it's weird. They got a lot of crazy going on. So I'm confused. Hence the question mark tier. If you're the Cardinals and you're going to lose to the White Sox and you're getting booed by the home crowd, I'm confused. I have some questions. I have never, did I think that the St. Louis Cardinals fans would boo the home team at Busch Stadium, and that's happening now. That's problems. That's big problems. And then you lose to the White Sox. And I know we saw a terrible call, but I don't know. Not a good look. The Red Sox have a team ERA of 2.61, but they're like 1-15 runs allowed. I'm confused by the Red Sox. I'm still not excited about them. And then the Blue Jays have an anemic offense. They have more strikeouts than 12 other American League teams, but they also have a bunch of home runs that they're producing. So fascinating.
Fascinating.
Ready to go.
All right. This is my question mark tier. I've got the Twins, Rays, Reds, Red Sox, Tigers, Astros, Athletics, and Padres. The Twins, yeah, I feel like they belong here. Like you said, is that winning streak just rattle it off? Then that's it. Then there'll be 500 the rest of the way, or what? I don't know. The Rays, they should be better. I mean, I know that they have like the lowest payroll in the league, so they shouldn't be winning anyway. But the fact that they have proven in the past that they're able to win that way and win with many of these guys that they have, they shouldn't be playing like this. They should not be a 500 team. So I'm confused about the Rays. The Reds, I'm confused about because I talk all the time about how there's a ton of talent on that team, but they are an under 500 team. And Donnelly right now, but they are just like wildly inconsistent. And maybe that's their inexperience coming through. I don't know. But we're going to roll with that for now. The Red Sox, I'm not sure who this team is day to day. So when I go through and I like, if I'm like, I think I've said this before, but if I'm going to go through and build out a parlay, there are certain teams I will not touch. Last year was the Cubs because they were so unpredictable. This year, I will not touch the Red Sox because I have no idea which team is going to show up day to day. So that they are like the epitome of the question mark tier to me. The Tigers need to play better than they are because they are better than that. Like I said, if they could figure out how to score before the eighth inning, they would have a way better record. They'd be at least four or five games over 500. I'm convinced. So if they can figure things out, then they'll move up. But until then, I don't know. The Astros are a mess sitting at the bottom of the American League West. If you can believe it, they're not. The Angels are at the bottom of the American League West at this moment, but they're 12-22. They have one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball, like top five offense in Major League Baseball. But this pitching, so their starting rotation has been decimated with injuries. I'll give them that. But man, it's the bullpen that is an absolute disaster. Josh Hader, Ryan Pressly, and is it Jose Abreu?
Yeah, and Stanek.
Stanek's in Seattle. Not Stanek.
Oh, that's right. He moved. I forgot about that.
Abreu. Brian Abreu. I knew Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu did get sent down to the Complex League, though, because he couldn't hit.
Yeah.
It's Brian Abreu. Did. Gosh, you got me all screwed up. Hader, Presley, and Abreu have been a mess.
Yeah.
Absolute disaster. And so therein lies the huge problem. If those guys figure it out, look out, because they'll be super scary because they're the Astros. But at the same time, though, like, will they? I don't know. The Athletics, I put them here because I'm very excited about them, and I couldn't justify putting them in the heart tier, even though, Brig, I feel like you justified it perfectly. I couldn't do the same for me. I love the Astros, but they're also – or, sorry, I love the Athletics. That felt awful coming out of my mouth. I love the Athletics, despite being a division rival. That might be why I have them in the question mark, because since they're in the AL West, I can't put them in the heart tier. So.
Fair.
Anyway, and then the Padres, just, you can't build a whole team off of middle infielders, no matter the talent that you have. But they're sitting at 500, second place in the division in the NL West, and they're on top of the wild card. So maybe they'll hold serve. I don't know. Probably not. But we'll see. That's an unknown.
Sure is an unknown. Okay, so my thumbs down tier consists of the Reds, the Rays, the Angels, Mets, Nationals, Pirates, Astros, D-backs. The Astros, you articulated it very well. I don't want to get into that. The D-backs are disappointing. Like, they're just disappointing.
Yeah.
It's I don't care what the numbers show or what their record is or whatever. I'm so disappointed that they have to be here on emotional currency alone. The Reds, also, same, disappointing. They either score a ton of runs or they don't score at all. And I don't get it. The Nationals don't care if they're 7 losses out of their last 10. I don't care if they've won 7 of the last 10. They belong here. I don't want to talk about it. And then the Mets... When Polar Bear Pete Alonso is 1 for 29 at the plate or whatever it is, then you got a big problem. You can't have that. And I wonder what else might be going on, because he's not the only one struggling.
Yeah.
So,
well, didn't Francisco Lindor get booed a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. And then for the Astros, they're 10 games under 500. Just to polish that one off for you.
It's crazy how bad they've been. Absolutely unreal. Okay, my thumbs down. I have the Cardinals, Blue Jays. This is not my bird tier. Angels, Mets, Nationals, Pirates, Giants, and Diamondbacks. The Cardinals, like pretty much everything you said, like it's just been ugly, so ugly. And it's been ugly not just this month. It's been ugly for a couple years now. It's been really bad there.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays are a mess. Alec Manoah came up and got rocked. And I think that they're just like, we'll keep him up because what else do we have to lose?
Yeah, that's point, true.
You know? So I feel like that's what's going on with the Blue Jays right now. The Angels are the bottom. They're actually the bottom of this tier. No Trout, no Rendon, no hope in Anaheim right now. The Mets, not
good. No Rendon is an upgrade. So,
well, it's par for the course. It's standard, but still, you don't have Trout.
Yeah.
And no Otani either. So it's,
that's true.
Not good. Not good. The Mets, like we talked about, it's weird because their stars are not playing well and they should be. So, but anyway, the Nats, not a good team. Like you said, I don't care that they've won 7 out of the last 10. They're just not very good. If you watch them play, they don't – like, it's weird to say, like, well, they don't have any recognizable names on that team, but they really just don't.
Like, that's fine.
There's a reason you don't – but there's a reason you don't know who they are.
That's true.
Because they haven't and don't do anything. Right? They've got some speed on the bases, but that's about it.
Like, if we can sit here and name anybody on Oakland's club right now
– I could Rooker.
That's
Langoliers.
I'm just saying
Miller.
Rooker,
right?
Miller, right? We know who they are, and they should be awful.
Ruiz.
Yeah, they should be awful.
Yeah,
the Nationals are awful, and ergo, we know them not at all.
Yeah, yeah, and that could just be them playing teams that are more awful than they are, right? The 7 out of 10.
No, they're definitely doing that.
But yeah. The Pirates, I am so disappointed in the Pirates. They're just not good at all. They should be so much better than they are, but they're just not. The Giants have been a massive disappointment. They have such a good team, but they just... We talked about them before, and it's just like, it's baffling what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then the D-backs are a massive disappointment, too. They a team that played as well as they did last year, that made the very small changes that they did this offseason, should not be this bad. Yes, they have a +7 run differential, but they have a -5 win differential. So,
and a minus 500 fun differential.
That's right. Not fun. Corbin Carroll has not been good, so maybe he'll get going and the rest of the team will go with him. But man, it is ugly right now.
Yeah.
Not the way to go. You know, so I live in Phoenix, for those of you who don't know, and I have a friend out here who is also a Mariners fan, and we've talked about going to a Diamondbacks game and sitting behind the Diamondbacks dugout wearing our Mariners gear and cheering for Gino Suarez's team. But there's nothing to cheer for.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
That would be really funny.
It would be really funny. And we're going to do it at some point. But anyway, here's your poop emoji. Poop tier.
My poop tier is simple. White Sox, Rockies, Marlins. In truly no particular order. But if I had to, the Rockies would be the farthest down.
Yeah.
On my list. The Marlins can only beat the Rockies, and they can only do it when they're at home. We showed you the umpire scorecard for the White Sox. The only team, the only time they can win is when CB Buckner hands it to him. So,
you know, I saw something that said that the CB stands for certifiably blind.
Oh, I read somewhere that he was, because you know, every once in a while they'll do a poll and they'll take, you know, 50 players from the American League, 50 players from the National League. ESPN does this. And they'll say, who are the best umpires, who are the worst umpires, and the last, I think, one or two times, CB Buckner came up as consistently the worst.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, I will never forget
50 players.
I will never forget the first time I was introduced to who CB Buckner is. Was JP Crawford was called out on a ball that bounced at his toes, and he turned back and looked at CB Buckner. And goes, "That's terrible, CB." And then walked off.
Well, there he is, for all of you.
There he is, the man himself.
All right, go back to your poop tier.
Okay, I can't get rid of the thing, though. I'm going to need your help with that.
There we go. Okay. I got it.
Okay, there it is. The White Sox, Rockies, and Marlins. Honestly, I'm surprised Bud Black still has a job.
Yeah,
he's been there forever. Are they just like... He can't do a whole lot with the talent we give him. We might as well just keep him around.
I don't know. Or maybe it's, if we bring somebody else in, it'll force us to address the problems. We like the devil, you know, because no pressure. We get to pocket all the cash and we don't have to pay anybody and nobody expects anything of us. We still have a deal with Root Sports or whatever it is. Like there's, I think all of that is
they're doing there. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I just think, if they brought in somebody, like, can you imagine if Ron Washington had gone in to Colorado or Dusty Baker? He'd be like, what are we doing? Knock it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing, though, that the Rockies consistently have a problem is they cannot attract pitchers in free agency, like good ones, because nobody wants to pitch in Colorado. Nobody wants to pitch 81 games in Colorado or however many, you know? Yeah. So that's a problem. That's a significant problem there. But at the same time, though, they don't ever attract free agent bats because they don't have a team to support them. Chris Bryant went, and he even said, like, what was it, like 3 weeks ago? He's like, I really probably should have done more research into what this team had going on. I really wanted to get into camp. Just basically, like, I was desperate, and they offered me the best the most money, and so I took it, right? And he's coming out and saying that at the beginning of the year?
Bad look, bro.
That's something you say after you've left the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Rockies are an absolute disaster. The Marlins are terrible. I think they're going to continue tearing that down. I think Tim Anderson will get traded. I would not be shocked if Jazz Chisholm got traded, but I think they might wait another year or so. And the White Sox are just a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Just like, Who's to say? Who's to say, Mr. Brigg?
I don't know. I don't say much. But when I do.
Know. Anyway, baseball family, let us know what you think about our emoji tiers. If we nailed it, let us know. If we think we're way off, if there's somebody that's in the wrong tier, let us know. And heck, if you want to get in the comments on YouTube and write out your own emoji tiers, go for it. 38883 is the format if you want to do that. Or you can just throw all the rules out the window and do it however you want. That's cool too.
Yeah, seriously.
That's going to happen eventually around here. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will catch you next week.